but he keeps on running. You just can't. What are you going to do with a calf like that? And see, those are bound to survive because that's got to be a beneficial mutation. Because with six legs, two of them on the back, you can't ever catch the thing to kill it. And so it's going to live longer and produce more offspring. And so pretty soon the whole world's going to be covered with six-legged cows, and nobody will ever eat beef again because you won't be able to catch them. Yep. So watch out, evolutionists. You better stock up your freezer full of beef because there will be no more. Sheboygan, Wisconsin, right? Is that where it's from?
It's from the Sheboygan Press. Let's see. It doesn't say.
Sheboygan, Wisconsin is where that is. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Right. Wisconsin. Yeah, sure. You betcha. Okay, here we go. Letters from Danny Winther writes in. Science is a branch of math. Math has numbers and formulas, yet how did we get these numbers? If you had to use numbers to find out everything, then where do you get those numbers? You can't say numbers, because then you would have to find out where they came from. So then, how did we get them? Is it just made by humans? How can we prove that we are real? How can we prove that we are superior? Mathematics proves all that, yet we can't prove mathematics is real. So then, could all of our lives be proven to be fake? We may never know in the lifetime of the human race. Danny. Wow. Danny, I'm sorry. I taught math and science, and I don't think your email makes any sense. But that's okay. We're glad you wrote it to us. But we're not really here, Jonathan. And if it weren't for numbers, the whole world wouldn't exist.
Well, if it weren't for numbers, nobody could hear us right now.
You got a point there, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Man. Okay, and we would not be getting older.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Emily Baldry writes in. We were just wondering how you feel and what the Bible says about movies, books, and games such as Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Okay, piece at a time. Let me bite this off one chunk at a time. Emily, I think Harry Potter, the whole series, is satanic, evil, wicked, etc. I think it's done a great service to the kingdom of Satan on this planet and done nothing for the cause of Christ. There's a book that a lady wrote a year ago about Harry Potter that she sent me that is powerful. I got to read about a third of it, I guess, and just got 14 books going at the same time and haven't finished it. But, yes, I'm real concerned about the damage the Harry Potter series is doing to our kids, okay? As far as Lord of the Rings, a couple of our guys here on our staff got some of those movies. Have you seen any of those, Jonathan?
I went to see the last one, I guess it was the last. I went to see one of those. I have no idea which one. And it was 3 hours long, and I didn't understand any of it. One of the guys that was with me apparently read all the books, and he's like, oh, this is where, you know, such and such happens. Oh, they forgot this part. You know, he's completely knew the entire series back and forward, and I was just like, I don't understand this.
Well, a couple of our guys got the, you know, we've got the projector and the big movie screen in the movie theater here at Dinosaur Adventureland. And so they got the movie and were showing it in there and had the whole room full of people, you know, and everybody's crowded around. I came in about in the middle of it, sat and watched for 30 minutes straight, and left thinking, this is dumb. I don't know what. A bunch of trees are fighting, you know, the floodwater's coming, trying to wipe the trees out, and the trees are fighting all the guys on, you know, with the weird-looking heads.
Advanced evolution right there. The trees are going to be able to get and walk around in the future.
Man. Oh, I don't know. So, as far as Lord of the Rings, Emily, I'll have to plead insanity, I guess. I mean, it didn't make a bit of sense to me, not in the least. Maybe they said, well, you got to watch the whole thing. You got to watch all three movies in their 3 hours apiece. I said, look, don't you have anything to do with your life besides watch a bunch of trees fighting people with weird-looking heads?
You know, one series of movies that people really should see is the multi-award-winning Creation Science series that this ministry's been putting out.
Correct.
That's definitely one that they need to watch. Yeah.
I've seen it a bunch of times. Okay, if you want to be on the program, folks, let me finish this question here, and then you can email us or instant message us. I'm sorry, Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive, Dr. Dino Live. Or you can call 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, and go to extension 136. We only have one line coming into the program. And so far, Jonathan, it's all we can handle at a time.
Yeah, until we have some rich millionaires out there. I guess rich millionaire. Kind of.
See, all we do is put them on hold.
Yeah.
They can hold at home. And not cost us the money. So I've done a lot of radio, I mean thousands of radio call-in talk shows where the lines light up. You know, there's 12 people on hold, and they take them as fast as they can. That's fine, too. Okay. Here we go. So Lord of the Rings, I have to say Harry Potter is probably evil, and Lord of the Rings, if it's got any value to it at all, I couldn't see it. It looked just plain dumb to me. But neat special effects if you like trees picking people up. Here we go. Let me go on to Emily. Emily says, we realize this is not an evolution creation topic. Correct. But we are at odds with this, and we want to know what to expose our children to. I feel that it's leading children astray, but my husband thinks it's just make-believe. I think both of you are right. I think it is leading them astray, and it is make-believe. Let's see. Question, am I overanalyzing? No. Sounds like you got it right, Emily. We have read in the Bible that any sort of wizardry is an abomination to God. That is correct. But is that only practicing wizardry, or does it include watching a movie with wizards in it? I don't know that there's anything, evil about watching a movie with wizardry in it. I think the whole idea is dumb, and it's wishful thinking for these wizards to think they got some kind of power, and God's the one with all the power.
There is a big problem with, say, for example, the Harry Potter series. A lot of these kids that watch this have actually written, and the creator of the series, some woman, has said that she's received thousands of letters from little children who want to go to Hogwarts School, which is a school that Harry goes to learn all these magic spells. They want to go there and learn magic spells. I mean, this place is real to some of these kids.
What's the school, Hogbreath or something?
Hogwart, I think.
Hogwart.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Well, send them. Okay, here we go. We have a one-year-old and another on the way soon, and we want to raise them according to the Bible and to love and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Your creation videos have really helped us grow in our faith, and we appreciate all the time you've taken, Emily. Well, thank you, Emily. I'm glad it was helpful. Hope that answer is helpful. All right, let's see. The other two Jonathan testimonies I have are both smiley faces. They love our ministry. We like the frowny face one, but these are really, really long. So I'm going to synthesize these and hopefully for tomorrow's program summarize what on earth it is they're saying. What I'm going to do is try to get a few of the AOL instant messages from yesterday since I saved them. And if you want to get one in the pile, we'll take those that come in today fresh first, or phone calls actually first, and then AOL instant message fresh ones today first. But I'm going to try. Several people have been hanging. Well, we get some, Jonathan. They get the end of the pile every day, and I feel real bad, you know.
That's going to happen. I mean, we've already increased the program to 1.5 hours, so.
But, you know, my brother said, you know, sometimes you're the bug and sometimes you're the windshield.
Yep.
He has a real way with words, you know. Okay, here we go. Zoltan Eggs 11 wrote in yesterday, could Adam and Eve have had a tail? No. We were made in God's image. Nothing's changed. The gene code is pretty flexible within limits, but I don't think tail is in the limit. There are so many other things you need for a tail besides just the little tail bones that we have that really have nothing to do with a tail at all. So I'll give that a very emphatic no. Adam and Eve did not have a tail. Okay? Second question was, how did I lose track of that already? Boy, they come. Okay, here we go. Travis 12389 wrote, hey, Ken, is God going to destroy this planet and build a new one, or is he going to renovate this one? Are there any good websites I can visit for answers to the so-called contradictions in the Bible? Thanks, Travis. Travis, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The Bible says in, let's see, if I can do these off the top of my head, Isaiah 65, 2 Peter 3, and Revelation 21, all three of those chapters say God is going to make new heavens and new earth. To me, pretty clear. This one's done for. It's going to destroy it, make a new one. I mean, after all, it doesn't cost him a thing. I mean, he owns everything. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and God owns it. He's the master. He can do it with it exactly what he pleases. We're just his servants down here, his tenants, actually. So hope that helps. Let's see, Spitfire. Spitfire Christian 01. Genesis says, the birds fly in the firmament of heaven, Genesis 1:20, and it says the sun is in the firmament of heaven. So the firmament means more than just the atmosphere. The water was above the sun and stuff, right? No. That's not correct. Spitfire. This is really confusing me. What verse says water is beneath the sun and above the atmosphere? Okay. There are actually three heavens. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven. Here's the Hovind version. In the beginning, God created the heaven, singular heaven, and the earth. Then he divided that heaven, which means the expanded place, into three slices. The first slice is the layer of air around the earth, maybe at that time probably only 10 or 15 miles thick. Then there was water above that slice, and then there was the second slice, which we call outer space, which is really, really big as far as we know, goes who knows how far. And then there's probably water above that even, according to Psalm 148. It looks to me like there is still water above the heavens, okay? And then there is the third heaven, about which very little is said in the Scripture, so I don't think we can be real dogmatic on a lot of details about that. Other than it appears the Apostle Paul actually saw it. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe when he was stoned at the city of Lystra and dragged out of the city for dead, he actually was dead and went up to see the third heaven, came back down and said, wow, I can't even talk about that place. There are no words to describe it. I equate that to being trying to explain colors to a blind man. Try it sometime. You know, explain colors to somebody who's been blind all their life. Explain the difference between red and green. Good luck. Okay? They just don't have the equipment called eyes and optic nerve and brain, part of the brain for sight. Something is broken in that chain, and they can't understand colors. Okay? Something is broken in our chain and or has never been put there, and we simply cannot understand eternity or the concept of an eternal God. There's a whole lot of things the human brain, little three-pound brain, simply won't absorb. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just we can't comprehend it. So just like I can't sit here and pick up radio signals with the fillings in my teeth, but I can flip a button on the radio and it can pick up the signals. It has the capacity, even though the signals are going right through me right now, right through this room, I mean, probably millions of them, cell phone signals, radio signals, TV signals, all kinds of electromagnetic frequencies are whizzing right through this room, I mean, millions of them. But I can't feel any of them. I can't see them, I can't taste them, I can't smell them, I can't sense them. I can get up and run around the room, it doesn't bother them at all. My running right through the middle of them doesn't faze them, but they're here. And they're very real. And there are other things, apparently, that we currently cannot sense, cannot smell, cannot taste, cannot touch, but are just as real. And Paul got to see heaven, came back down and said, man, I want to go back. He told the Philippian church, I've got a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So that's my take on it, is there are things that you could not understand. And if you did see it and even understand it, you couldn't portray it to anybody else. It would be like a former blind man trying to explain colors to a current blind man. You still can't do it. Okay, so I think the three heavens, I think Paul was caught up to the third heaven, and all it says about it is you can't talk about it because there are no ways to describe it. Okay? Here's one from Ghost 32, GHST32. Dr. Coven, here you're using the example of dogs not being able to reproduce non-dogs, and then evolutionists arguing that it happens much slower than that, and we would never notice the transition because of how long it takes. Well, if that were true, shouldn't there be so many transition fossils that it would seem like almost an infinite number of different variations of species have existed over the years? Furthermore, if the geologic column were real, and there were even enough layers to accommodate for this many fossil variations. Are there enough fossil layers to accommodate for all these variations over the amount of time they are suggesting? Okay, careful things, Ghost 32. First of all, if anybody else wants to write in, get to us at Dr. Dino Live, DRDINO.
On AOL Instant Messenger.
On AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah.
That is a tang tongler. How did they pick a name like that?
AOL. Oh, my goodness, I don't know. American Online.
America Online Instant Message. Okay. You have to make sure your eye teeth are clean so you don't get your tongue tangled up and get your merge wixed on that one. Got to be able to see what you're saying to talk that fast. Here we go. So you can instant message us, AOL Instant Message, Dr. Dino Live, or call 850-479-DINO, extension 136. Here we go. As far as the evolutionist saying, you know, dogs came from something that was non-dog, they certainly do believe that. I've never had them give an example. And I try to keep it simple, you know, so they can understand it. You know, guys, it doesn't happen, okay? You can believe all you want, but that's, you know, it's never been observed. And that's what I want to see is the science behind all this. So far, I'm not getting any science out of these guys, Jonathan, these evolutionists. Offer $250,000 for anybody with any real scientific evidence. It's theory. Dumb. Capital T. Dumb. Okay, we'll be back after the break. You think aloud, you will be next. Thank you for your question. And get them in, folks, to Dr. Dino Live.
Friend of George Bernard Shaw, who was a professor, said, I'm going to talk to an audience of professors and students, and I'm going to tell them all I know about my topic, and I was told to talk in 3 minutes. How can I do that in 3 minutes? Shaw said, well, speak very slowly.
That was the voice of Justice Stephen Breyer of the United States Supreme Court. It is a very entertaining message he gave to a commencement exercise of a major law school. If you'd like to hear that entire videotape, see that entire videotape for yourself, we'd be happy to make a copy especially for you. If you send a gift of any size to Truth Radio, Post Office Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. That's P.O. Box 344, zip 93444.
The killer asteroid, or was it?
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the contributors to the controversial book Grand Canyon, A Different View. Well, Ken, for about 10 years now, most secular scientists have been claiming that a huge asteroid hit our planet about 65 million years ago, killing off all the remaining dinosaurs. But what are the evolutionists saying now?
Well, many textbooks proclaim that an asteroid impact killed off the dinosaurs and many other creatures 65 million years ago, but this may be a wrong view, some paleontologists are now saying. They now claim to have found evidence of a major change in the world's climate that occurred even before the asteroid hit. So now they say the dinosaurs were already in decline and the asteroid impact simply finished them off. See, this is just another example of what I call the continuing evolving theory of evolution. In other words, man's theories undergo continual change. This is something that we'll powerfully share in the Creation Museum we're building near Cincinnati. But God's Word never changes. It doesn't have to be revised every 10 years because of new findings. You know, isn't that encouraging? From Genesis to Revelation, it's the unchanging Word of our unchanging God.
The book of Genesis is the most attacked book of the 66 in the Bible. To help you defend 6 days of creation and a worldwide flood, go to our website, AnswersRadio.com, and read Ken Ham's free booklets. You'll be built up in your faith when you go to our attractive and easy-to-use website, AnswersRadio.com.
All right, folks, here we are back at the Creation Science Hour and a Half. It is June the 7th of 2005, and I have my granddaughter, Stephanie, sitting on my lap. How old are you, Stephanie?
Two.
Two. Are you the smartest one?
I'm in two.
You're two, yep. Got four grandkids, two and under. God's reward for not killing your own kids, I'll tell you what. You know, Jonathan, I decided as a teenager when I got saved at age 16... that I was going to try to live for the Lord and do things right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I did not always do that, that's for sure. But it was my goal, my drive, my dream.
Yeah.
And I have lived now to see the results. All my friends in school were bragging about all the women they had, stuff like that. I said, no, I'm saving myself for marriage.
Well, as an outsider looking in, it's definitely motivation to keep trying to do things the way that, you know, the Bible has set them out for us.
Oh, God's plan is awesome.
It definitely looks like a lot of fun.
Wouldn't trade it. Be my 32nd anniversary coming up this summer. Nope. Got married 1973. 32 years.
Uh-huh.
A life sentence. I love it. Took my wife to the airport this morning. Going to go to Houston to be with my daughter and her husband, who is in the hospital with real serious cancer. So pray for him. His name is Paul. Paul Jewell. Gotta pray for Paul. Here we go. Musing aloud, had written instant messages at AOL, instant message Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. Says, hello, Jason here. I use your slides to spread the creation message. Thanks for all the help, by the way. And an independent fundamental Baptist church. Can't read all. There we go. Okay. The church I was at holds to the gap theory, believe it or not. By the way, there is a dumber theory than evolution. That is theistic evolution. Now, that is really stupid. Anyway, I was told that Thomas Chalmers was not the inventor of the gap theory, that the disciples' disciples had believed in a gap, or didn't really know how old the earth and universe is. It seems like a desperate argument, and no material was presented to me. Have you heard of it? Is there research on it somewhere? Take care out there, and God bless you both, from Jason. Jason, I'm holding an article in my hand by Dr. Phil Stringer at Landmark Baptist College down in Haines City, Florida, which is south of Orlando, 50 miles or so. I just read it last night, matter of fact. It deals kind of with the question you're asking. What happened was, after the time of Christ, there was a cult in Alexandria, Egypt, that arose that were sort of like Jehovah's Witnesses. They did not believe all kinds of things about the Bible. And so they wrote their own version of the Bible, made hundreds of changes, probably thousands of changes in the Bible. It's called the Alexandrian Manuscript. That is the guy who started proposing that maybe the earth is millions of years old. His name is Origen. Maybe not millions of years, but, you know, certainly older than the Bible taught. And the Catholics think Origen is one of the saints, you know, and a lot of people, even Hugh Ross, teaches Origen was awesome and great. And I would suspect that the disciples' disciples that your pastor or whoever is referring to are probably these guys in the Alexandrian cult. So if you want to get a hold of Landmark Baptist College in Haines City, Florida, those would be the guys I would talk to see answer to that question. Okay, I've talked down there four times today. One of their guys is extremely fluent in Spanish and interpreted for me when I spoke in Honduras, and is coming up to next week to spend a couple days here and get our Spanish videos all edited and done. So, yes, I think that the gap theory is extremely stupid, and theistic evolution is extremely stupid, and we have a book about the gap theory on our... Is that one on our website, Jonathan, or Brainwashed?
The gap theory is on there.
Gap theory, okay.
Yeah.
If you want to watch, we need to put Brainwashed up there, too.
We need everything on there.
Well, what have you been doing with all your time, Jonathan? You're only working 20 hours a day. I mean, come on. Beat it up.
No, we're trying.
Okay. All right. What time did you quit last night?
2:00 in the morning.
2 o'clock, okay.
Yep, today.
Today, yeah.
Came back in 7:58.
There you go. See? Hey, if you burn the candle at both ends, you know what happens.
Twice the light,
that's correct. Adam Brow writes in, maybe the next time you get a question from a skeptic asking you why no trilobites are found in a layer with humans in it, maybe you should show them the pictures of the crushed trilobite in the human shoe print, which kind of disproves that statement. Oh, good point. Adam, the state geologist of Utah verified that footprint was legitimate. It's called the Meister print. I believe Dr. Baugh has the original in his museum in Glenroe, Texas. You might want to go to Creation Evidence. Is it Dr. Baugh's?
Yep, creationevidence.org.
Creationevidence.org, and read about that. It's called the Meister print, about the human footprint and the trilobite in it. There are skeptics who have said, oh, it's just the way slate breaks open and it just happens to look like a shoe print. I understand. Okay, I read all the skeptical articles I could find on the subject. I think they're loony. Okay, but I think the idea of trilobites still being alive is very reasonable and feasible. There are indications in the deep Peruvian trench off the coast of Peru that there are trilobites still alive. Certainly, as I showed a week ago about this, we have Baltic isopods and the sea roach from off the coast of Cuba that are very, very similar to trilobites. Certainly, I would say, of course, an evolutionist would say, oh, yeah, they're very closely related. You know, obviously, look at how similar they are. But possibly even the same animal with a loss of genetic information in some way. Okay, here we go. From Tucker Braun, who writes, I forgot the name of the law or property you gave in your seminar where ice can be suspended. Can you tell me the name of it? Thank you. Yes, that is called the Meissner effect. Meissner. Meissner, I believe, is the spelling. If you put two north poles of magnets together, they will push away from each other. And you can do it if you have a hole drilled through them, where you put a magnet on a stick, and then you put another magnet on top of it, slide it over the stick, and if similar poles are toward each other, they will repel, except in San Francisco, where they attract. But similar light charges repel each other, and that's called the Meissner effect, where magnetic levitation, actually. Japanese have a high-speed train that does that, kind of floats the train above the tracks on the with a Meissner effect.
Okay. I was actually up in our science center. We have two magnets up there that you can do these similar experiments with. One of them's hanging from a rope, and the other one's on the base of this tripod. I was wondering, how long would those magnets stay, I mean, pushed away? Because I actually walked up there and looked at it, and they were, I guess, opposite. So it wouldn't completely go over the other magnet. It's kind of bouncing around the surface of its, you know, magnetic force. How long do these things have, like, a limit on them, or what?
Well, the magnet itself will gradually lose its strength over time. All magnets lose their strength very, very slowly. I guess there's no such thing as a permanent magnet. There are those, they last a pretty long time. The magnets are made all kinds of different ways, you know, but natural magnets, magnetite, stuff like that, I don't know how long that's going to last. Hang on, Stephanie, she wants some peanuts here, John. I'm liking this grandkid stuff with the radio program. I would say certainly years and years and years, those magnets will repel each other like that. But gradually they'll lose their strength. They would do that even if they're sitting still,
yeah,
you know, and not pushing on each other. I think you can lengthen the life of a magnet by putting it on a piece of metal and it, you know, kind of assists in the magnetic field or something, but I don't know that that's significant. All right, let's see. Reed Don Top DB says, can you ask Dr. Oven if he's ever heard of Dimitri Dudeman and his prophecy for America? Does God speak to the true prophets at this point in history? Yes, I have heard of Dimitri's prophecy. I have read it. I don't know that I put a lot of stock in modern-day prophets, nor could I prove it's wrong, okay? I just, the Bible says, you know, if someone claims to be a prophet, they have to be 100% accurate. You know, if they make one mistake, they're to be stoned. So, I don't know.
One thing I was doing, because, you know, like we were saying just a couple of days ago, I came from a, I guess, religious background that truly and wholeheartedly embraced that type of stuff. And I came down here and started kind of reexamining what I believed. And now whenever I read my Bible, I look at prophecies that are in the Bible and the way the prophets gave them, the things they said, and then I correlate, or actually I compare that to the things you might hear some modern-day prophets say, and it's just completely polar opposite. I mean, the style of stuff they say. You look at the prophecies in Revelation, or, you know, the messages from God to the seven churches in Revelation. You know, God will, I guess, compliment one aspect of the church, but then tell them they need to fix the other prophecy. You don't see that criticism in prophecy today a lot.
Right. All right, folks, we'll be back in just a minute after the break. Stay with us.
Heard the saying, all things being equal, friends buy from friends. Well, it gets even better when your friend sells you something for a much lower price than other people are paying. And Lifeline Long Distance is a Christian company, so we'll donate 10% of every long distance call you make for the advancement of the gospel. Hey, after all, what are friends for? Lifeline, long distance with a higher calling.
Phone 1-800-311-2418. 10% of your long distance calling will support Truth Radio. 1-800-311-2418.
are listening to Truth Radio. Our address is Post Office Box 344, Nipomo, California. That's Post Office Box 344, N-I-P-O-M-O, Nipomo, California, 93444. Write to us. If you go to Google and put in the name Gavin DeBecker, G-A-V-I-N-D-E-B-E-C-K-E-R, you'll see that though you probably haven't heard of this man, he's very well known in a lot of circles for his being one of the chief authorities on violence and the reason to fear it. He's written a book, Fear Less. Interesting title. Magnificent book. I found a quantity of these, a small quantity, and I'd be glad to share one of these with you for a very little donation to Truth Radio. This book is a secular treatment of the concept of fear, what we should be afraid of, and how we should deal with it. P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444 is the address to use. Donate anything you choose when you ask for Fear Less, a book by Gavin DeBecker.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind in Pensacola, Florida, this June the 7th of 2005, and we're live here in Jonathan Sampson at the switchboard, ready to take your questions on any topic related to creation evolution, preferably. And who we got on the phone there, Jonathan? Do we still have
him? Yeah, you got David on the phone.
David. Thank you, David, for calling in. We got a couple Davids calling. Which one are you?
I'm the, your favorite David, of course.
Oh, of course.
Of course, the David from California.
California. Yes, sir, David. How can we help you today?
Hey, I had a good question. I'm pretty sure you've read the part, Luke 6, where, you know, love your enemies, all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff out there. But I had a question about, you know the verse where it talks about, you know, if someone strikes you on the neck, turn the other cheek, and, you know, if someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. And
right, you, right.
Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back.
I read all that. Yes, sir.
Okay, do unto others if you would, you know, blah, 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 all that stuff. That's Luke 6, I believe, 27.
Okay.
Now, I had a question about how you exactly apply this to your life today in terms of, you know, if anyone asks of you, be generous, that kind of thing. So, I mean, does your literal approach, I mean, do you really take it literally or no?
I want to say something just real quick. Whenever you say take the Bible literally, that does not mean find a verse, pick it out, and then do exactly what that verse says. You have to let Scripture interpret Scripture. There's a huge book out there. You know, if it says turn your other cheek, then why in Revelation does it say that they're going to force people to take a mark and so forth? Why don't they just say, hey, Christians, take the mark of the beast? And then all these Christians are supposed to say, oh, okay. You know, it's not the way it is. So you have to look the whole thing in perspective.
Oh no, I have. But then, and the reason I'm not reading the whole verse is because that would take a long time.
No, that's not what I mean. I'm saying just instead of looking at a few verses here and there, you have to interpret it in light of the entire Bible.
Oh, okay.
Well, read it consistently.
But yes, to answer your question, I don't have anything to give, first of all. I don't own anything.
Okay.
That's the way I want to keep it. I want to, everything here belongs to the Lord. I don't have anything to give.
Okay.
But, our ministry does give away tens of thousands of dollars worth of stuff to, like, videotapes to prisons all over the world, to missionaries all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
We have given out tens of thousands, possibly even hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stuff.
Yeah, I understand. Well, the part about, you know, if someone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back, how would you respond to that? Like, for example, like if I went to your museum,
uh-huh,
and I, like, I don't know, took one of the toy dinosaurs, I mean, would you ask for a back or no?
Well, I guess it's not mine. I'm the steward of it. If it were mine, I'd be willing to give it away, but I don't own anything, as I said. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm a steward. I'm protecting it for somebody else, so that kind of puts a different light on it. It's
okay,
not mine to give.
I understand. So let's say, what if I took $100 from you? Would you demand it back?
I guess it'd be in the same situation. I don't have $100. Their ministry it would belong to the Lord. And
okay.
I'm charged with, you know, management of God's property. So, yeah, I suppose if you stole something from us or from this ministry or from any Christian, you know, if you're asking to justify theft or even, I mean, this could be extrapolated, you know, can I steal your wife from you? Can I steal your daughter from you? Can I, you know, steal your life from you?
No, like, my question is, like, would you follow the verse and not be very selfish about it, I guess I could say.
You mean and turn your other cheek by slapping you?
Well, no, by, my whole point is, why won't you debate River again?
I would be thrilled to debate River.
Well, why won't you?
What do you mean I won't? I'd be thrilled. Pick a university, I'll fly out there to take them on, half my brain tied behind my back.
Whoa. I thought you, no, River.
I understand.
Well, I thought you refused to debate him.
No, I've never, I told him, I don't want him to call in on my program on my toll-free number until he pays his bill. He owes our ministry $128. The guy's 26 years old. I mean, he says he can't afford $128. So go get a job, mow grass, wash windows.
He has a job. He was a biological technician from Mount Rainier, making about $40,000 a year.
Are you demanding it back, the money?
It's not demanding back. He never did pay it. He stole stuff from the ministry. He owes us money. He needs to get it right. So I'm just being a good manager, I guess, for the Lord's stuff.
Okay.
Why do you care about River?
Oh, well, I mean, I actually haven't spoken to him in months. I'm just curious because if he took what belongs to you, and, I mean, I don't see how, why would you demand it back if you live by this philosophy?
He promised that if I would send him our video series, he would pay for it. I kept my end of the promise. He did not keep his end of the promise. So I guess as a steward of the Lord's material here, I feel like I have failed. I should not have trusted him.
Okay.
And I don't trust him at all. And I think he needs to just as an American, just as a human being, he needs to pay his debts.
Okay.
Well, Christianity would have nothing to do with that.
Well, I understand. I know. Well, I mean, I don't live by this, you know, don't demand it back. My car radio was actually stolen out of my car last night. I would definitely demand that back.
Yep.
But I don't know. I just don't see how you can. I don't know. It just, according to this verse, it seems like you should be acting a little differently.
Well, had it been mine, you're probably right.
Really?
Because I'm just the steward of somebody else's property, you know.
Oh, wow! Wait. I thought the money that he supposedly stole. This isn't your money. This isn't your tape.
No. Like I told you earlier, I don't own a thing.
Really?
If I hired you to be the watchman at the bank, and somebody came to steal the bank's money, your job is to guard it.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it? I mean, you know, here's your gun. Go guard this thing. You know.
Okay.
So I just feel like I was negligent in my duty to the.
So basically, you're saying like it actually wasn't yours to begin with. So you're really not demanding anything back, type of thing.
Well, you're putting two unrelated things together there. It's not mine to begin with, that's correct, but as far as demanding it back, it was the Lord, so yes, I'm demanding that he settle his bill, that I was the steward, I was responsible for, the watchman.
Hey, I also had another question. You said something to Jared, I think it was, about him getting his own show like an hour before you.
Sure.
Do you have the information that we can contact, I think it was Richard, right?
The truthradio.com.
Okay. Do you think that he'd actually consider that or no?
I don't care. Doesn't matter to me at all.
I'm sorry?
It doesn't matter to me at all. I got an hour and a half. That's all I can handle.
Wow.
Both time-wise and money-wise. So.
Wow. Okay.
Do you think people would listen to somebody who believes they came from a rock?
Probably not.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know many people who do. So. Well, how much do you think it would cost for you to get my tailbone removed?
For me to get your tailbone removed?
Yeah.
Well, I got a Swiss Army knife. I'll do it for free.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I taught
biology. I know right where it's at, man. Bring it over. Bring it over. We'll extract it.
So you, whenever you said that you'll pay for it, you didn't mean, like, go to the hospital, type of thing?
What, do you need yours removed for some reason?
Well, you said that if we believe it's vestigial, we could have it. You'd pay for it to be removed, right?
Sure. You want yours removed?
Sure, why not?
Do you have any idea what it does?
No.
Okay, do you have any children?
No.
You might want to have those first.
Maybe we'll just, you know, bring Mrs. Tobin in. She actually damaged her tailbone. We could actually, you
know, 5 years with a broken tailbone. You better read up on this first before you make a decision.
Well, no,
I'm just
curious, like, what if I was serious about this? Would you even, I mean, are you being honest about that? Or?
Oh, sure.
Really?
So
who could I contact to get mine removed now? You want me to call you back, like, at the show? Or?
I don't know if any doctors who would do that.
That's my son Eric here. I think you better read Grey's Anatomy.
Just to be fair to him, there is a process where they do it in some situations.
Oh yeah,
Toxidine or something like
they
that.
They amputate legs too.
Well, no,
exactly.
I don't think it's really relevant whether I know what I'm doing or not. It's the fact that you said I could do it,
sure.
And I'm going to see if you can.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll get a couple of prices at hospitals to see if they'll do it. If we can find a doctor that'll do it.
Okay.
If not, I can do it. I taught biology and anatomy. I can find it. It's not a problem.
Okay. Well, but to my knowledge, you don't have health insurance, right?
Pardon me?
You don't have health insurance, right?
I don't, and it wouldn't be operating on me anyway. It's you.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Okay. Well, how big is your Swiss Army knife?
Oh, it's the biggest one. It's the Champ or whatever. It's got like 40 blades on it. It's a Christmas present somebody gave me, and it's huge.
Okay.
And it's razor sharp.
It
I mean, you won't...
Work.
You won't
I've got a big buck knife that I carry.
You won't feel a thing.
Thigh, so.
Okay. Well, do you guys have stitches or anything?
Oh, yeah. I can sew. Man.
Okay, cool. Could I keep it afterwards? Or
keep the tailbone?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Plus,
okay.
you're going to end up having to have a colostomy, though. You might want to check on that first.
Uh-oh.
Make it a Christmas tree ornament.
Yeah, that's almost always the case with a toxidectomy. What do they call it?
Toxidonia.
Oh,
okay. Okay, well, I'm going to go. But how's your invisible friend doing today, anyway?
Oh, which one is that?
God, I think it is. Jealous?
Oh, he's awesome. You really need to meet the guy.
Yeah, I know. I'd like to.
All right.
Because I have a lot of questions about him killing babies and stuff. I never met a guy like that. You know?
I can assure you that you will get to meet him.
You definitely will.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I have this theory that he's probably a black guy. You know? I don't know why. He just might be a black guy.
No, the Bible says God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
Okay.
All right. Thanks
for
calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, folks, if you want to be on the program, 850-479-3466, extension 136. Or you can instant message us, as many have, Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. It is June the 7th of 05. We are live, frustrating the evolutionists to no end. Jonathan, why do they listen?
Oh, I don't know. It's because we have such sweet voices that they just can't get enough of
it. And they can't shut it off. They try, but they just can't hit that button.
It's like audible sugar.
Oh, well, here we go. Okay, we're back with instant messages. Let's see, where did I leave off? Adam, I did that one. Tucker Property did that one. Dimitri did that one. Okay, Bill, help, one. Here's a question from my mom's friend. If you became a vegetarian, does that open you up to the dark side? What on earth is the dark side, Jonathan?
That's, I guess, the dark side of the force.
Wow.
I saw a video just recently about, it was just a little pun video. They did it with all vegetables about some Star Wars parody. It was actually really neat.
Not VeggieTales, right?
No, it wasn't VeggieTales.
That was a cute idea. And I love that. Junior Asparagus. Let's see. To the dark side. I know a lot of vegetarians that just sincerely love the Lord, and I think they're missing out on something really, it's really fun to eat, you know. I mean, after all, if God didn't want us to eat the animals, why did he make them out of meat, huh? So, anyway, yeah, no, I don't see any problem there. There are people who, vegetarians who go on the, you know, way on the far radical fringe, you know, and there are fruitarians who only eat fruit after it falls from the tree, you know, they don't want to hurt the tree. I think you can take this to wild extremes. Okay, should I read another one, John, or you got a caller there?
We have a caller.
Caller, go ahead. Who have we got?
Yeah, we have Leif from Norway.
Norway. Hvor står det til i dag?
Good dog.
Good dog. Yes, what's up?
Well, I heard I'm a born-again believer, and I heard you for a couple of months now, and it's great to hear your program on the Internet.
Well, good. What time is it over there?
Well, it's midnight, I guess.
Yeah.
Around midnight. Well, I heard you spoke the last half hour about Harry Potter, wrote for a question about that book.
About which book was that?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, yes.
And the book, and The Lord of the Rings. Well, I happen also to listen to the Radio Liberty program with Stanley Monteith, on where you have also been a guest.
Yes, sir.
And he has interviewed people concerning the occult, and I just wanted to throw in this comment concerning Harry Potter books.
Okay.
The magic, the school, that school of magic that Harry Potter attends is a type of a school that in reality is a real school, only it's written in a way that people that know about magic know what it speaks about.
Kind of a code, you mean, hidden message?
Yeah, right. Yeah. There is a real school of magic, but the magician who has been born again, interviewed on Radio Liberty program, told that this school is in the spiritual realm, kind of.
Okay.
And I want to give out the website to a former vampire sorcerer who has been a guest at Radio Liberty, if you want.
Sure, go ahead. What is that website?
Okay. The website is www.withoneaccord.org.
Withoneaccord.org?
Yes.
Okay.
Name is William Schnoebelen, I think.
Oh, yeah. His book that he wrote on Masons is excellent.
Yes.
Is that the same William Schoebelen? Schoebelen?
Yes.
Schoebelen,
yes.
Yes. Oh, his book on Masonic Lodge is awesome. I didn't know
right.
He had stuff on Harry Potter also, but...
There is, on the menu, on the left side of the website, there is a menu on witchcraft and Satanism, and in that page there is a link to a Harry Potter commentary.
Well, I've got a lot of information on there about the Harry Potter series.
Good. What I've read, so I've never met him, but what I've read so far I really enjoyed, and he's not only really smart, at least on the topic I read about, but he's also a good writer. It's easy to follow, you know? So,
yeah.
Excellent. But when are you going to come to the States?
Oh, I've never been to the States, but I look forward to it. However, after 9/11, things seem a bit awkward in the airports, the searches you have to go through and stuff. So
not too bad. I flew 200 times last year and already 100 times this year.
Okay.
It's not too bad.
Well, I thoroughly enjoy listening to people like you and Carl Ball, so I praise God for you.
Well, thank you.
Amen.
I have about 12 letters in my folder of people who want to schedule meetings, but I think about 12 from Norway.
Hallelujah.
So I go every single week. I mean, I'm not trying to get out of work. I just haven't been yet.
Yeah.
I'll get over there one day.
Yeah, and I pray for you. I keep you in my prayers. You and family. You and your family.
Well, good. Now, how do you say thank you for calling in Norwegian?
Takk for at du ringte.
Takk for at du ringte. I'll have to work on that. My mother spoke Norwegian.
Right.
My grandfather came straight from Norway, from Trondheim.
Yeah.
He worked up there. My great-grandfather owned a barrel factory that made barrels, and they were all carpenters and builders and stuff up there, and Grandpa came and settled in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and built a bunch of houses up there, and then I was born and raised in Peoria, so Illinois.
Well,
anyway, thank you for calling. Call anytime.
Well, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, folks, if you want to call in, 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, extension 136, or instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. It is June the 6th, and Jonathan and Kent Hovind here, taking your calls and comments. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. The Earth was created in 6 days, and the evolution theory is real dumb and real dangerous and real pervasive, and that's sad. Okay, the dark side. Jonathan, I don't know about a vegetarian being the dark side. As I said, I think some people do go nuts over some issues, you know, and think that we can carry anything to an extreme, I suppose. But answer your question, Bill, I don't think so.
There used to be a billboard over here in Pensacola, just about two blocks away, when I first came down about 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, and it had Jesus up there, just his face, his bust, basically, and they had a string of peas around his forehead like a crown, and they said, Jesus, Prince of Peas, follow Christ, reject meat. And it just... I thought, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And it was only up for about a week until they took it down. So.
I don't remember that one. Okay, here we go. Spitfire. Christian 01 says, you said there were three slices, and I agree. You said there was water above the heavens and gave scripture. I agree. But you said there was water over the first slice and beneath the second slice, but you didn't give scripture for this. That is correct. I don't know of any scripture for that. Okay? Unless... Genesis 1, 6, and 7 is talking about that one, all right? That could be the scripture that's... Or 2 Peter 3 could be another scripture that may or may not talk about that. The earth is in the water and out of the water. I believe that would probably qualify as the best verses I know of on that topic. Okay, so what biblical basis is there for believing in the canopy? Their theory you teach in your videos, please answer specifically, because I get asked about this all the time and I can't find answers. Okay, good question, Spitfire. That's my answer. I think 2 Peter 3 and Genesis 1, 6, and 7 are referring to this water above the atmosphere and not beyond the stars, but I cannot prove that from Scripture. and I think I've said that numerous times. The whole thing is called the canopy theory. There has to be something to increase air pressure and or filter radiation in order to make this work. We have giant insects behind. Drink already, Jenna? Man. Okay, hope that helps. That's the best person I know of. We'll be back, folks, in 1 minute.
After you become acquainted with Truth Radio, it becomes clear to you that part of what Truth Radio is all about is that we share with each other. And there's a man in Minnesota who has done just that repeatedly. And one of his gifts to Truth Radio is a DVD entitled Hijacking America. Now, this is something that, yes, it did originate on satellite TV, but I doubt very much if you saw it. This is something about the Bush administration and about the government under which we now live that you need to see, and you need to share with your friends, and I'll be glad to send you a copy of this DVD. I'm all set with a brand new DVD burner that works great, and I'm anxious to use it, and I want to send you a copy of Hijacking America. Ask for it when you write Truth Radio, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. That's P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444.
Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1798 on this piece of paper I scotch taped here on the wall above my desk. 1798, after one of his own defeats, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "A little patience, and we shall see the reign of witches pass over, their spells dissolve, and the people, recovering their true sight, restore their government to its true principles. If the game runs sometimes against us at home, we must have patience till luck turns, and then we shall have an opportunity of winning back the principles we have lost. For this is a game where principles are at stake," said Thomas Jefferson.
And that's the voice of Garrison Keillor, PrairieHome.org.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. We start at 4:30 Central Time here every day of the week, except Saturday and Sunday. And you can call in and be on the program, 850-479-DINO, extension 136, or we'll pay for the call if you call 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or you can AOL instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DRDINOLIVE. Jonathan, do we have another caller, or can we take the next question here?
We do. We have Jared on the phone.
Jared.
Yes.
Jared, you're getting to be a real regular here.
Yeah, does that bother you?
No, I mean, you need to get your own program, though, if you want to espouse the views that we came from Iraq. I mean, but go ahead.
I don't espouse the views that we came from Iraq, but I am actually kind of interested in getting my own program. Do you think that you could pull some strings for me?
Oh, I don't need to pull any strings. All you got to do is call them, you know.
Well, I'm kind of wondering about that because, you know, your broadcast from truthradio.com, and they're a pretty hardcore Christian site. I'm really doubting that they're going to let, you know,
well, you've got a point now. See, what you teach and believe is not truth, so they wouldn't want that on there.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right, so, that's up to them. I have nothing to do with that. We purchase airtime from them, like anybody else.
I highly doubt that they're going to let an atheist, skeptic, evolutionist on their little radio.
Well, there's lots of atheist shows already, so pick one of those. But anyway, what's your question, Jared?
Okay, well, there's actually lots of things I could talk about. I want to go for two things, mainly.
But didn't you call yesterday and I asked you, how do you know Iraq is Cambrian?
Yeah.
Okay, how do you know a rock is Cambrian first? I want to hear this.
In practice?
I mean, you find a rock and somebody says, that's Cambrian. How do you know it's Cambrian?
I think it is by the index fossils.
There you go. That's my point. Do you understand the problem with that?
I understand what you think is the problem with that.
You don't see a problem with that. You date the rocks by the fossils, and then you turn around and date the fossils by the rocks, and you can't see a problem with that.
If it were exactly as you just described, that would be an obvious stupidity. But surely you don't think scientists are that stupid.
Some are, and that is many have admitted that precisely. You wouldn't need to watch my video 4 where I show all that.
Don't you realize that creationists were the ones who came up with this theory?
Some compromising creationists, they were wrong.
Compromising creationists? So any creationist who doesn't agree with your view is compromising?
It's just common sense. Whether they believe in creation or evolution would tell you, if you're dating a rock by a fossil and you're dating a fossil by a rock.
That's not what I mean. I'm talking about the geologic column in general.
I don't care who came up with it. It's wrong. To me, it doesn't matter. If I say an evolutionist came up with something, in your mind, if a creationist invents the MRI machine, well, he can't be a scientist then because he's a creationist.
Oh, absolutely not. I've never said that.
Do you believe it's possible to be
that is ridiculous, Ken. I would never say that.
Well, there are a lot of evolutionists that believe if you don't believe in evolution, you're not a scientist, and therefore all scientists believe in evolution.
Now, in modern times, I think there's more truth to that than there was in prior times, as Martin pointed out, because you can't really have scientists believing in a theory of evolution before there's a theory to believe in.
Okay. I finally got the page open in my atlas, which got wet many, many years ago, and all the pages stuck together because of the ink they used, whatever. But very expensive, huge atlas of the world that was somebody gave to me, National Geographic Space Age Portrait of a Continent, okay?
Right.
The book is like 2.5 feet by 20 inches. It has, on page 18, a map of the North American continent with different color codes for the different types of rock. They have Cretaceous.
Types mean eras of the geologic column? Or?
Right. They have Cenozoic, Mesozoic, Paleozoic, etc., each color-coded. Now, they have a whole section of Florida as Cenozoic. How do they know it is Cenozoic? Or whatever. This is the rock that's exposed on the surface. As I mentioned yesterday, in places where there are granite exposed, like El Capitan, you know, California, or in New Hampshire, you know, that area.
Right. Vermont, too.
Yeah, Vermont.
Vermont is actually called, go ahead.
New Hampshire is the granite state.
It's true, but they both pretty much have the same geography, but whatever.
Right. Okay, so here you have granite on top, or you have, let's say, in Arkansas, you have a lot of limestone right on the surface. How do you know this is Jurassic limestone? Why isn't it, Permian limestone?
I'm guessing because when you dig in it, you find certain kinds of dinosaurs.
That's exactly it. You're getting it.
It's
because of the fossils they find.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. I asked this before, and you never quite answered it. How do you think they can do this?
Stupidity.
No, that's not a good answer.
Blindness.
No.
Fear of losing their government grant for going against the established doctrine of geologic column.
No, Ken, the guys that came up with this idea were creationists before the theory of evolution even existed.
A few of them may have been, but they were compromising as who believed they thought the Earth was.
Why do you think they were compromising? Why would they have a reason to compromise if there was no theory of evolution to compromise against?
They started off thinking the Earth is millions of years old.
No, they discovered that the Earth is millions of years old by the simple fact that these geological phenomena cannot be explained in any other way. They realize that the Noah's Ark hypothesis doesn't fit reality.
There may be some people who believe it does not fit reality.
That is the reason why they started investigating these things to begin with in the 19th century.
Okay, I'm opening up my 7,000-slide PowerPoint presentation to Seminar Part 4, where I give all kinds of quotes about the circularity of the geologic column.
Now, let me ask you a question, though, before we go on with this.
Okay.
Why is it possible to do this?
Why is it possible to do what?
Why do you think it's possible to figure out what strata it is by what fossils are in it?
I don't think it is possible. That's my whole point. You believe it is. I don't.
Then why is there any consistency with the way that scientists deal with the geologic column? Why aren't they in a state of utter confusion every single time they go out and look for it?
I think there is utter confusion. And
no,
I think
it's
that
not.
All kinds of, like, when they find the KBS Tuff and dated at 212 million years old. And
KBS Tuff is an anomaly that I'm investigating, but besides that. Stuff like that.
The point is, they found a normal human skull under the KBS Tuff.
They found it under something. They did not find, as far as I understand, a human skull inside of, like, Cambrian rock.
Well, no, they
it
found
it. It wasn't fossilized inside of a rock layer.
Well, you got horses and oranges here. You don't find many fossils in lava at all, okay, or in ash or pumice, in Pompeii. But even then, the fossils didn't preserve, just the cavity where it was, the humans were preserved. So it would be highly unlikely to find any fossils in igneous rock, okay? And I would suspect that tuff would be considered igneous rock.
That's kind of beside the point. But what I'm saying is, if this flood hypothesis is true, and first of all, you put forth the idea that there's like this massive technologically advanced civilization that's capable of building these seafaring boats that are far more advanced than anything we have today, right? As far as wood technology goes.
Wait. Seafaring, it's not going to go anywhere. It's a float. It's a big floating box.
It floats on the water in the sea.
But it doesn't have to have motors and sails. It doesn't have to go anywhere.
And aside from that,
huge barge.
Aside from that, it doesn't mean they're far more advanced in everything than we are today. There may be some things that they were far more advanced than we are today.
So well, they had a couple thousand years to develop.
I'm sorry, what?
I think they had, what was it, 1,656 years, if I counted correctly before, something like that.
Well, you figure they started off in a Christian view, straight from the hand of God, with a fully loaded computer, Adam,
right,
super high IQ, and then lived 900
yeah.
years, and lived 900 years past that, and could learn a
yeah.
lot.
You know, if I lived to be 900 years, I think I would speak out a lot of stuff.
Right, which we think they did. So why
okay,
are you saying they were stupid and couldn't build a boat like that?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's what you believe, just so I can preface what I'm trying to say here. Okay.
Sure.
How many people do you think existed before the flood happened?
Oh, I don't know. That would be pure guesswork. Let's pick a number and say there were a billion.
A billion?
Yeah, they lived 1,600 years from Adam to the flood. And
yeah.
if you're living 900 years apiece and having 100 kids per family,
right.
it doesn't take long to get a billion people.
Right. I think some simple population dynamics would probably back up what you're saying. Okay. So let's just suppose that's true. What kind of evidence do you think that civilization should leave behind if there were a global flood?
I think part of the problem with answering that question would be we would assume that they would have the same needs that we have today, i.e. need a house to protect ourselves from weather, need highways to travel. If they had a Garden of Eden type situation, you don't need to go anywhere, you don't need a house to be protected from weather.
They weren't in a Garden of Eden situation because God kicked them out and put the cherubim in front.
Well, they still had a pretty interesting world where they lived to be 900. I mean, something was different. So I think they probably had awful nice conditions where they did not need the things that we need today. Most of our modern conveniences are to protect us from the bugs or from the weather or from the elements or something, you know?
Okay, fine. Now, if those people, this is like a billion people, now, do you think they're distributed all over the world? I mean, do you think that Pangaea, you think Pangaea was just totally fabricated in South America, doesn't fit into Africa and all that kind of stuff, right?
Well, there's underneath the ocean between those two is solid rock. I mean, you know, it's not like there are lily pads floating around.
Do you think there were oceans before the flood happened?
I think there was a sea. There's some water on the surface of the earth, but most of it was in the crust of the earth. I covered that on my seminar, part six.
Okay, I haven't watched all of your seminar yet. I just watched the first few parts. Do you think that water, that there was a continuous ocean of water on the planet?
No. I think the earth today is 70% underwater, and that's not the way God designed it. The Bible says in Isaiah he formed it to be inhabited. So the original creation, today the earth is about 3% habitable. The rest is under oceans or deserts or ice caps or treeless tundra or, you know, just simply uninhabitable.
Okay.
Since God formed it to be inhabited, I would just pick a number and say it was probably 80% habitable and 20% water.
Awesome. Okay, so we got a billion people, and there's 80% of the world that they can live on, right?
Sure, plenty of room to spread out.
Now, you also think that the flood is what caused all the geologic, the quote, geologic column.
I don't know if I'd say that. Now, the Bible says when God first made the earth in Genesis 1, it was underwater, and then he says, let the dry land appear. That, to me, would indicate there may be some valleys and rivers formed just by the water running off for that first time as the dry land appeared. So there may indeed be a little bit of stratification pre-flood at the time of the formation of the earth in Genesis chapter 1.
What but, stratification would that correlate to in the geologic column, Cambrian?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think our modern geologic endeavors have been able to determine. Actually, if you look at the history of the geologic column, even the names, you know, tertiary, which means third.
Right.
The early geologists, many of whom were Christians and who were trying to figure out, they said there are primary rocks, secondary rocks, tertiary rocks, and quaternary.
Right.
The very names themselves. Primary would be before the mountains arose or before the dry land appeared. Secondary was rocks that were formed during the time of the flood, I believe is the way they had looked at it. I don't remember the details on that. But the names themselves, they had to divide up into four regions. Pre-Adamic rocks, pre-flood rocks, rocks formed during the flood, and rocks formed since then. You know, rocks are forming today. So that's
okay.
Why they picked those four names. They had four divisions to the wind. I mean, it was all biblically based. I mean, I think they were wrong on their time frames. They thought it was millions of years.
Okay, well, this is getting a little bit off track from where I'm trying to go. Okay, so you got a billion people. You got all these places they can live. You got a flood coming. Kill them all. Why don't we find them?
Well, quite a few fossils have been found. Marvin Lubinow says about 4,000 human fossils have been found.
What layers?
I don't know. Quite a few different layers. His book, Bones of Contention, is excellent on this topic. And he goes through the problems that evolutionists have with them being found in the wrong layers, you know, to match their theory.
But shouldn't, you think there's no pattern. So shouldn't the humans that lived before the flood be all over the geological column?
That's not true that Dr. Hirschman says there's no pattern, just for the record. I mean, because you do agree that there is some sorting based on density and things like this. So if there is a pattern, it will be by different types of factors than you
have in
mind. Yeah,
I think there are five or six things that can cause patterns other than evolutionary progression.
That was one of the things that actually first... do we have a break coming up? I think I misheard something. What's going on? Okay. That was one of the first things that the geologist realized, was that the rocks and the strata and stuff weren't sorted by density.
Well, that's what I said. There are five or six things that can cause sorting. Density is one of them.
Density is the most important.
Oh, no. I've got this little glass thing in our museum, two pieces of glass with two different densities of sand in between.
Yeah, I've seen those.
When you flip it over, it does not form two layers with the densest at the bottom and the lightest on top. It forms hundreds of layers. Dense light, dense light, dense light, dense light. You can buy it at the mall for $6. So it is not true that density is the only thing that forms. Density is a factor that's involved.
Well, I didn't say it was the only thing. It's the most important thing.
Stratification happens based on this particle size, particle resistance to water fluid dynamics. Density is certainly one. But see, here's the problem.
Particle size is basically analogous to density, so it's almost the same thing.
No. Particle size is not similar to density. I mean, an elephant may weigh a ton, and a little bitty chunk of lead may weigh a ton. Elephant's much bigger, and, you know, so density is unrelated to particle size. Density is a product of mass and velocity, not mass and volume. Mass and volume. Okay, so why are so few human fossils found? If there was a flood that took, say, 6 months to kill everybody, which I think probably is what really happened in the time of Noah, I don't think
they all... Did you say it rained for like 40 days, 40 nights?
Well, that's the 40 days and 40 nights, but the water kept coming up for 150 days because most of the water came from inside the earth as the fountains of the deep broke open.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 24 and Psalm 136, both teach that God created the earth with water in the crust of the earth, which, by the way, there still is a huge amount of water in the crust of the earth. Otherwise, we could not have sub-oceanic hot water vents. That water is coming from down lower. So the pre-flood world had most of the water in the crust of the earth, and it probably took 6 months to kill everybody, which means it's going to be highly unlikely that we will find human fossils, since they would be, being smarter, tend to survive longer and end up on top where they rot, like the buffalo that we killed out west, you know, 100 years ago.
But you also say that there are rock layers like Cambrian that are higher up.
How do you know it's Cambrian? You said that. Okay. Would you say that there are places on planet Earth, right here in America, where the Cambrian rock is at the surface?
That's what you said. I'm just quoting what you said.
Okay. Well, I can show you from the National Geographic Atlas. Yes, they've got whole sections of America where they think the Cambrian is right on the surface.
Yeah, so why aren't there hominids there?
I don't know.
That's the problem. Creation science doesn't explain anything. If I ask you why, you'll say, I don't know.
At least I'm honest, because I don't know. Do you know?
No, it fits perfectly with the evolutionary theory. It's not something I have to explain. It's already explained. It shouldn't be there.
Well, he's already told you that humans are a very dynamic subject. I mean,
once they're dead, Jonathan, it's not going to matter how smart they are.
Okay, no, I know that. But once they're dead, it does matter how fast they're buried. If they're going to float around and rot, then that does matter, and you know that.
And if they die later in the flood, they're less likely to be covered. But see, you're missing the point. How do you know this rock is Cambrian? You would say because there are no humans in it. Oh, see? No humans are found in Cambrian.
Well, for the record, you were reading from the book, Dr. Hoban, the Atlas book. They were saying it's Cambrian, and his argument was, how do they know it's Cambrian? And that's what he asked you.
They know it's Cambrian because there are no humans in it. And then guys like Jared say, well, see, there are no humans found in Cambrian rock. Well,
that's not what defines Cambrian.
That's how they classify it. It is, too. They classified it as Cambrian by the types of fossils it contained.
No, let's be very careful. You do not define a fossil layer by what it doesn't have. You classify it by, you discover what it is according to what it does have.
That's what he just said, the fossils that are in there.
There's a stickiness to that.
All right, well, that's been 20 minutes. We got a bunch of folks waiting here. We need to probably limit it to something like that. But watch my video 4, if you haven't got that far yet, where I give quote after quote after quote by evolutionists that you should respect who say the whole geologic column is based on circular reasoning. Rocks date fossils, fossils date rocks.
Can I have 5 more minutes, maybe?
How about 1 more minute? Give us a closing comment here. We've got a break in 1 minute anyway, that's why, but go ahead.
No, it's okay. What I want to talk about is going to take longer than that.
Oh, Colin, I'll be on tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
Hey, thanks a lot. All right, Jonathan, I'm looking at Glencoe Earth Science Book, 1999 edition, page 352. where it says, 358, where it says, finding particular fossils indicates the age of the rock in which they are found.
Hmm.
Okay? When you look at page 325, on 358, it says, you determine the age of the layers by the types of fossils that are found. The age of the layers determines the age of the fossils. Here we go. One, the fossils determine the layers. The next, the layers determine the fossils. Circular reasoning. Break time. We'll be back in a minute.
For millions of people in Southeast Asia, December 26th will never be forgotten. The tsunami that hit 11 countries devastated millions of lives that will take decades to rebuild. Lifeline, America's most trusted Christian telecom company, has another way for you to help. No, we're not asking for donations. We're simply asking you to take what you already use, long-distance service, and put your phone bill to work, changing lives. Call Lifeline now. Switch your service. Get the lowest rates like 2.9 cents per minute and help places such as Indonesia, Sri Lanka, and Thailand while the doors are open so wide. At Lifeline, we donate a portion of your phone bill to relief ministries that you choose, and we've been doing it for almost 15 years.
Phone 1-800-311-2418. Your participation with Lifeline will help Truth Radio.
I think God uses our gifts to get our attention.
With Moments Together, here's Dennis Rainey.
Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. But every once in a while, when things are going along smoothly, you know, I start to feel like maybe I got this parenting thing lit. That's when God will use one of my kids to get my attention. All of a sudden, Barbara and I will start praying what I call the prayer of a helpless parent. Lord, help. God reminds us again that we need Him to be in charge and be the builder of our family. Do your children send you to your knees? That's a great place for you to be. Today, pray to God for help in building your home. First, pray for your marriage. Ask Him to keep your marriage holy and pure. Ask Him for wisdom, for a strong commitment to one another. Then pray for your children. Plead with Him to build convictions where you can. God loves the prayer of the helpless parent.
Moments Together with Dennis Rainey is made possible by Regal Books, the Moments Together devotional series at Christian bookstores or regalbooks.com.
Back to the final segment of the Creation Science Hour and a Half. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson talking to you live this, June the 7th of 04, 05, whatever it is. And we are the folks who believe the Bible is true and evolution theory is dumb and real dangerous. Okay, questions here. You can call in 850-479-DINO, extension 136, or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DRDINOLIVE. If you call 479, get my tank tumbled up, 3466, and go to extension 136, you will be able to talk to Jonathan there and get on the program. Let's see. Spitfire asked for verses about this canopy. That's the best I've got on that. I hope that helps. That's why I've always called it the canopy theory. I don't think you can be dogmatic. I don't think... we do have a caller. Okay. Meatball. Is it Meatball? Mongolian Meatball is next. Hang on. We'll be back in just a second here. Who is that, Jonathan?
We've got, I believe, Eric on the phone.
Eric. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, Ken. Now, yesterday I called in and asked you, I'm just looking for a simple yes or no.
Okay.
On if you believe in the extraterrestrials.
You'd have to define extraterrestrials, right? Are you asking me, do I believe are there planets that contain life other than Earth?
Intelligent life, something like that.
I do not. No, I do not believe there are planets that contain. I think there are angels and seraphims and cherubims mentioned in the Bible that are certainly intelligent and certainly are not of this world. But if you mean Star Trek kind of stuff, no.
All right, now, you can probably see where I'm going with this, because you take, testimonies and video recordings of people saying that they've seen live dinosaurs as evidence,
mm-hmm.
yet you're clearly discarding all the people who claim that aliens exist because they've been abducted, they've seen them, etc.
Right, well, First of all, I don't know that the two are necessarily are related, and your logic would be really poor there to say because A is true, therefore B is true also. I think that wouldn't hold up in a course on logic for a few seconds. But I don't think there's any connection between the two. I think as far as dinosaurs still living, that is more of a philosophical question of is the evolution theory true, which says they died millions of years ago, or is the creation theory true, which says they lived with man? You get 20,000 sightings in the last 100 years to say, yep, I saw one. Okay, well, if you want to put them all in the category of people, 20,000 people that claim they saw a UFO, you're welcome to do that, but I think that's poor logic.
But I mean, I would agree that if 20,000 people come to me and say, hey, I saw something fly around in the sky, first of all, it's different from the dinosaur one because we know dinosaurs were once on this Earth, and we're starting to see something that we know was here.
Yeah, we don't have fossils.
Yeah, we don't have any past recollection of aliens. However, if 20,000 people came to me and said, hey, we saw something flying around the sky, I'd say, okay, maybe they saw something. Me, for example, when I was in middle school, I saw a light reflected off a cloud, and I thought that I saw something.
A spotlight off a cloud or something.
There was something there, and maybe 20,000 other people saw it too and said, whoa, we just saw something.
But if you watch my video 7, I do answer the question, what about UFOs, and
yeah.
I give the five different theories about that.
So maybe they did see something. Maybe it's some weird plane they're trying on, just like Hitler's plane.
It's either misidentified. It's either like a swamp gas or a weather balloon. A lot of people see weather balloons. The light shines off a weather balloon. Oh, well, I saw a UFO, you know.
Yeah.
It might be a hoax or a prank. It could be top secret government craft.
Mm-hmm.
And I cover those options, okay?
But you see all my logic where it's going here, Ken, is because a lot of these things are just same deal. I mean, Loch Ness Monster, I mean, come on. How many times would you have to explore a place before you make sure that, of course, there is no Loch Ness Monster of any sort?
Do you know how big Loch Ness is?
Loch Ness is large enough that the entire population of people, 6 billion people on planet Earth, could all go drowned in it at the same time. It has the volume of over 6 billion human bodies. It is 24 miles long. It's up to 900 feet deep. You go down about 2 feet, and it's black. The visibility drops to zero at about 5 feet down because it's like a big mud puddle. So, and plus, it's all karst topography around it, so there are caves, which apparently have entrances underwater, which go up into the mountains. So, yes, creatures could survive there and not be seen. And when somebody comes with their motorboat, you know, that sound travels great underwater, this critter who lives there is going to hear you coming 5 miles away and avoid you. I mean, just a few years ago, they caught the giant megamouth shark. How many times have fishermen been out across the ocean and caught, they say, oh, we know everything there is to know about the ocean. And yet they find all kinds of new species. Every year, new species are discovered.
We look at also with the coelacanth, the evolutionists will attain or, you know, claim to have had 65 million years of observing, you know, the population here, and for 65 million years, they never popped up, and then up in 1938, they started showing up.
Right.
So, I mean, you guys had 65 million years, according to your own theory, to find one of these things, when in fact they were still out there, and you said they weren't. So why is it so hard to believe that maybe there's a dinosaur out there?
Well,
or some type of plesiosaurus creature?
Well, they call it Loch Ness Monster. I mean, you know, you never know what's at the bottom of the ocean. Maybe there's things that, you know, people thought it died out long ago that probably existed a long time ago, perhaps. But, you know, come on, Loch Ness Monster, you're using that as evidence? That's not evidence.
Well, you need to watch my seminar 2-3, where I talk about, you know, 11,000 people claim they've seen it. Have you ever been to Loch Ness?
No.
Have you ever interviewed anybody that claims they saw it? Have you ever watched any of the programs where people are on TV claiming they've seen it, you know?
No, and I don't have to because I've seen other people claim that Bigfoot is real, too, and it just matters the same.
No, it's not the same. Here's the problem. You have a preconceived idea. You are not open to scientific research because your theory of evolution blinds you to research in certain areas. You have closed the door to knowledge in certain areas because
that's not true.
Exactly
true. If they catch anything that's dinosaur-like, then I'll believe it. They have not proved anything. They haven't ever shown evidence that anything dinosaur-like, other than maybe some type of large lizard like a Komodo dragon, exists.
Well, what about, just think about this and be honest, be very sincere. I'm trying to be sincere with you. If 20,000 people who are not
a lot of these are probably not even young Earth creationists. They have no motive whatsoever to teach people dinosaurs are alive today. If 20,000 people say that they saw something that resembles a plesiosaur in Loch Ness, doesn't that give some credibility that maybe there is something in there that you think is not?
Not really.
No, 20,000 people?
The same 20,000 could claim aliens existed and wouldn't really
that's
matter.
That's fine, that's fine. Okay,
because,
but hold on, hold on,
know,
a second. You're changing. Wait, wait, wait.
That.
Exactly. That just means that you should look into it and see what they saw, right? If 20,000 people come to you and say, hey, man, I saw someone stole your car, and you say, oh, no, that's not possible. I had my car locked. I mean, if 20,000 people are saying that, don't you think you should check it out? Maybe they didn't see aliens. Maybe they saw a weather balloon.
It is your prejudice that is preventing you from even examining the evidence.
I could probably say the same about your views on evolution, Ken.
Well, okay, what evidence would you like me to examine? What evidence do you know of for evolution that I haven't examined?
Well, it's your prejudice that prevents you from even seeing that it could be evidence for evolution.
I'm wide open.
Claim it as you just hold it in and say it's evidence for creator instead.
No, no, I do believe the Bible is true. However, that's not what I was raised. I came to that conclusion because of the evidence.
What evidence is there for God?
Well, if you find a painting hanging on a tree,
that's not evidence.
The painting is evidence of a painter. You can go look at the Sistine Chapel and see this beautiful picture on the ceiling and say, wow, there must have been somebody who painted that. Oh, yeah, sure was, Michelangelo. Well, you've never seen Michelangelo, neither has anybody alive. But yet his painting stands there as testimony that he painted it. The creation itself is proof of the Creator.
It's interesting that Ithaca University just recently, you might have even seen this on the Internet, Eric, Ithaca University actually made a self-reproducing robot. They made a robot that makes copies of itself. Now, according to you guys, if something makes copies of itself, then it's not designed. It doesn't have a designer. So now even secular universities are showing that a designed thing can still make copies of itself, which is evidence of its design. So, yes, if we find, you know, this amazing creation, yes, that's evidence for a designer. I don't see how they don't see that. Even the secular world is showing that we can make self-reproducing things that are evidence of design.
We really have to establish, you know, a designer first, and there's, you know...
It doesn't matter who the designer is. Could have been Allah, Buddha, who cares? There is a designer.
Yeah, now as far as which designer, that's a totally different set of arguments.
Well, then the designer must have just created everything and then left everyone to be, pretty much. Yes, that's the only way I can really see it.
Not really. I think
everything came
down here and died for us on the cross.
Dell made my laptop computer, and then they left it. They're done. Now, it'll do a lot of amazing things, but, you know, they were done. Yeah, they finished it.
You still got tech support, though.
If I need it.
Yeah. If you need help, you still have tech support.
I got that with the Lord, too.
Yep.
He designed humans, let them run. The gene code is incredible. Adam was able to produce children that could produce children that could produce children that could produce children. I mean, self-reproducing. That leads to me and my kids and my grandkids and hopefully to great-grandkids. So it's an amazing code. But I don't think you want to see it. I think you, for some reason in your life, I don't know what it is, I've never met you, but you have rejected the idea of a creator for convenience, not for scientific reasons.
Well, what do you mean, convenience? Why couldn't it be for scientific reasons?
Well, it's nice not having somebody who says, thou shalt not commit adultery, no pornography, no lying, no cheating, no stealing, no, you know, here's the rules, obey these rules. And most of the Bible says that the reason people scoff and take your position is because of their lust. L-U-S-T, 2 Peter chapter 3. So I would suspect, and I've never seen an exception to this, that you have something in your life that you know, if the creation story was true and if the Bible was true, you would have to give it up. So you're not accepting this evolution theory because you have any scientific reason to accept it. You're accepting the evolution theory because you like the freedom from God's rules. You've not yet shown me any scientific reason. You've called in a bunch of times. What evidence would lead me to believe that we all came from a common ancestor or we all came from a rock?
Well, first of all, speciation is kind of evidence enough.
If I chop your waist off, from the waist down, you can no longer produce with anybody, are you a different type of species? And is that evidence that you can evolve into something greater because you just lost something that gave you the ability to reproduce?
What?
If I take away your ability to reproduce with somebody, if I, you know, blow you up from the waist down, and you are considered a new species because you can no longer reproduce with other people, is that a building process? Taken away that ability for you?
Yeah, the speciation process that I've ever seen, like, for instance, wolves evolving into dogs, as National Geographic said, that was a loss of information.
It's a downhill change. It's not an uphill change. You're not going to get a chihuahua turning into a wolf.
It is selecting a slice of the gene code. It is not creating any new genetic information.
All right, all right. You know what? Another problem I had was is the problem with, let's say, lust. You mentioned this a lot, but let's say why would an intelligent designer create a man that would naturally stop believing in him?
Naturally what?
Create a man that would stop believing in him. Well, I think he had to give us choice, otherwise we're robots.
But Ken, as you mentioned, you know, these raging these raging hormones and everything, you know, those are pretty damn strong and would naturally move us away from anything, let's say, of God's order or...
Oh, no. I have the same hormones and have a wonderful wife and have enjoyed 32 years of marriage and have 3 kids and 4 grandkids. And
I'm 21, so I definitely...
22,
know.
Doesn't it?
You're almost 22.
Okay.
But
so, you understand. So
yeah.
God's first command to Adam was, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. God gave these hormones. God created the whole thing. And he wants the world full of kids. He wants you to get married and have sex and have thousands of kids and have a great life. If God wants that. But God knows the dangers of, you know, not being monogamous. I mean, take a look at all the diseases we have in the world precisely because of that. Look at all the broken homes and people who don't trust their own spouse and, you know, the tears, I mean, and heartache that infidelity brings. God wants the best. God's not trying to keep anything from you. It's Satan that's the liar. Take a look at Hollywood folks. They got to get married again every 6 months, you know. They don't have a clue of how to have a precious, wonderful life. I can look across the table at my wife and say, honey, you're the only woman I've ever had. I wouldn't take anything for that. Okay, well, I trust her. She trusts me. It's wonderful. Absolutely phenomenal. The guy that I worked with at General Motors, Ed, absolute pagan. He and I sat at the same bench, you know, during break time, had a little table about the size of this one. We're both sitting there side by side. I'd read my Bible. He'd read his Playboy.
He'd read the Playboy?
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure he's reading?
I don't know if he's reading.
Okay.
He said, oh, Hov, and I've had over 100 different women. I've had white ones, black ones, Chinese ones, red ones, blue ones. I said, Ed, I'm not even married. I don't have a clue what you're talking about, but let me ask you a question. Is there any difference between all these women? He said, not much. I said, why don't you just get married to one and be happy like God says? He said, man, I never thought of that. So I can't understand, I guess, nor do I want to. I'm perfectly fine, happy, wonderfully married, and God wants the same for you, so... The reason, though, they think there's something out there. It's like the grass is greener.
If you're like me, you...
We're done. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Bye-bye.
The FBI has never apologized, never had any thoughts of regret about Ruby Ridge. Well, here's FBI negotiator Fred Lansley. Hear what he says.
We fouled up in front of the entire world. And it should never have happened. And I think it was just a really disappointing day for the FBI.
Admits to covering up facts during the court case, and the rules of engagement are deemed unconstitutional.
Well, the FBI may not have officially apologized for what went on at Ruby Ridge, but it was impressive to hear Fred Lansley speak out against his bosses. That's almost never done. This DVD, new to me, is really great. Lots of good background information about the Weaver case, and Randy himself, you know, showing up and telling his story. You can have a copy if you write to me, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444.
Spector promoted this trial, this U.N. trial of Saddam Hussein, for a specific purpose, to soften us up for the idea of having the International Criminal Court.
By January this year in radio shows, I was warning people, this year it's terrorism. This year the issue will be terrorism because the end goal is an international court of justice that will take away all criminal law jurisdiction in the guise or under the argument that you can't fight terrorism without a new international court of criminal justice. That's the end game.
They've just arrested over 500. 500 are being people. We don't know who they are. Are being held incognito, without a trial, without bond.